Gerard, come over here. Gerard York is here, too. Nobody could hit a baseball any farther than Gerard York, or nobody struck out more.
Not very often, but what? Pretty good when I could hit him.
Gerard, isn't it fun to get back here and see all these people? A lot of memories.
Great.
Old collegians, any of the old collegians been around?
No, I'd like to see everybody. That, you know, a lot of nice people.
Gerard, one question I want to ask you. What was the longest ball you ever hit that you can remember?
I wouldn't have any idea.
When you broke some windows in the Ricker dormitory?
That was to get in the room,
to break in.
Hey, a lot of fun here, Peter.
I'm old, but he's older, because I remember going to the park. He knew my dad real well, but even before then, and Gerard could hit the ball. A lot of them were called strikes, but when he hit it, he really could hit it.
You know, these guys just paid attention. Somebody said you were the best all-around baseball player who played every position.
That's probably my only laurel in baseball. Look,
back in the day when we were first learning to play the game, Holton did not have baseball coaches at all. You know, you had a guy like Joe Dobbins who could have been a great baseball coach, but he didn't want to do it. So we lacked coaching. And it was Scotty Brown and Pete Webb, those two, who really stepped forward. Like, Pete Webb taught me how to take the pivot on a double play ball at second base. And he did it. He taught. He, there was nobody else to teach. And so, you know, Scotty and I have talked about this week, because this week, yesterday, at Joe Inman's camp here on Dickerson Lake, we had a reunion of the Charles Street, Elm Street neighborhood gang. That includes all of us guys that staffed. You know, we provided good talent for a lot of the teams in Holton for years. And so we just had a reunion and had a great time.
Was this young lady a cheerleader?
Yes, she was. Yeah, that's Ann Levitt.
Ann Levitt Colbert. Yeah. Ann, when did you go to Holt High?
I graduated in 58.
Were you a cheerleader?
I certainly was.
Was it fun going down to the Bangor Auditorium?
It was fun, but I was wishing that I had practiced my split.
He's talking about the last time we just went down, Dewey. He's asking about when we were in high school.
When you were in high school. Do you remember the cheering on the auditorium floor with 5,000 people there?
Oh, yeah. It was scary.
Who were some of your cheerleaders that worked with you? Remember the names?
Norma Varney, Nancy Cunliffe, Janice Eklund, who married Charlie Berry. Now I'm lost.
Well, I know, but it's fun to get back to Holton, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's great to be back here.
Well, thank you very much, Amy. And thank you. Peter, I don't want to interrupt the conversation here because he might be feeding you a double play ball. And I didn't want Woody and Peter standing here. Peter, I don't care what you say. Every time you talk to somebody here, they always say Holton is one of the greatest places in the world.
Well, it is. You kind of knew it. Even as a kid, you knew it. But when you look back on it, Holton was terrific to its youth. Example, there were three gymnasiums in Holton. All three of them were better than any gym from Bangor to Fort Kent, all in our one town. And I think Woody probably agrees. Fortunately, we came along at a time when there was still town team semi-pro sports. And if you like sports and you're any kind of an athlete, it was kind of hard not to benefit by having these mature, good athletes, some of them even into their 40s, like Mr. Dobbins, Mr. Osborne. They knew you. You shagged balls for them. And, you saw them downtown. They were your heroes as a young boy. And the same way in basketball, the collegians with Ted Boynton and Johnny McCann. And I really think from an athletic point of view, I'm speaking for myself, but I think the others the same way. I know that was a blessing to me, both as an athlete and really what I do now. It really you had great role models. And today's, I wonder about today's 9 or 10 or 11-year-old boys. I mean, the Red Sox don't even have the same players every year. The Red Sox don't even wear the same uniform, four different uniforms a night. So I think the 50s and 60s were prizes, really. After the war, Houlton, fortunately, was full of prosperity, and I thought Houlton really thought well of their youth. Our recreation building was better than most school gyms.
Woody, what's your best memory of Houlton? Anything particular?
Oh, I think it was playing in, at that time they didn't call it Little League. What they call it, Peter, remember?
Well,
Babe Ruth League type, and we had so many great ball games, and part of the we would walk to Monticello. Really, we would walk to Monticello because we didn't have cars and so forth back then. And Jay Brewer was up there with the coaching and so forth, and those things stick in your mind. It was just great. And then, of course, Peter was, when he was saying the three gyms we had, the Ricker, the college gym, to have access, and it was always accessible to local youth, was just unbelievable. And we grew up in an awful good time for athletics, Dewey.
Most of you remember a name that we all loved as kids, Jimmy DeFederico.
Oh, yeah.
We had a lot of Jimmy DeFedericos come to our town when we were young boys. And boys, you just...
Charlie Wilcox, too.
Yeah, Charlie. Yeah. A lot of different... Ted Boynton in basketball.
There was one thing, too, Dewey, I was very proud of, when they dedicated the baseball field in Millinocket to Jimmy DeFred, and they asked me to speak at that dedication... And that was one of the proudest moments of my life, because I knew Jimmy so well, and such great memories, and I was very pleased with that.
Well, he was coaching at Hodgson when you were principal out there, wasn't he?
No. No, that was before I was principal out there, yeah.
I aged you a few years.
Yes, you sure did, do we?
Yeah, Jimmy coached at Hodgson. He had Jimmy Blackie and Earl Benn and the Vail Boy and a Rockwell Boy. They were very, very good.
Well, I'd like to thank all you people, and of course, Scotty Brown, again, so many people my age remember your dad, and then you and Tommy, and your mother. Your mother was a Blanchard, wasn't she, from Mars Hill?
Yeah, she was one of the many Blanchards of Mars Hill.
Billy, was she
Billy Blanchard's
sister?
Dad came from Mars Hill, too, yep.
Wasn't she Billy Blanchard's sister?
Yes, yeah, Billy was the youngest one in the family, yep. He was a good ball player.
Let me tell you how old I am. I remember going to ACI. Yeah. When Billy Blanchard was playing basketball,
wow.
ACI with John with the Wittens, the Wittens boys,
yep.
John and Harb Witten,
wow.
In Mars Hill, and Sully Holdham and McPherson,
yep.
And so your mother and father were nice people.
Billy's son Brian Blanchard was a great ball player in there too.
Yeah, no, he was. He played for, he was an all-star.
Yes, he was.
Thanks again, Scotty.
Okay, great talking to you.
All right, nice talking to you. Hey, as a guy, I want to talk to. I want to see. When I went to Ricker, one of the people who were my idols was my first tennis coach, Harold Inman, and son right here now. I remember Baldy quite well.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That was the best time of his life. He loved his years at Ricker, loved coaching, and he put on the minstrel show, and he loved all the kids there and so forth. But I think we ought to talk about Dewey DeWitt and what a fabulous announcer he was. And every kid in the county thinks fondly of Dewey DeWitt. That's absolutely sure.
I appreciate it very much. But yeah. Certainly, I know that your parents have passed away over the years, but your family's growing up now. Are they athletic at all?
Oh, yeah. And I have a daughter. They live in Windham. And she's 6 years old and plays soccer. She's a goalie, and they call her Stonewall Stella, so that she's a pretty good goalie and so forth. So. No, the kids have continued in athletics, and we had a reunion of the Charles Street kids at my camp yesterday. Uh-huh. Scotty Brown, Peter Webb, Billy Colbath, and we were reminiscing about growing up in Houlton in the 40s and 50s and playing ball at the park and at the rec center, and what a special time it was. And we talked about the Houlton Collegians and the fabulous teams that they had, and Ricker College. And the Maine New Brunswick League and so forth. So pretty special time in the history of Holton and Holton Athletics.
Well, Holton's also a pretty special place, isn't it? Absolutely. I know I lived in California for 25 years, and I couldn't wait to get back.
Absolutely. We spend summers here. We live in Windham now, but I spent most of my life in Holton working at the high school and so forth. So, and it was special being with Scotty, who grew up across the street from us, and we used to head to the park and the rec center, and sports was our main goal in life.
In that era, in the mid and late 50s, how many of those ball players came from the, right there by the park, the Elm Street, Charles Street neighborhood? Paul Davenport, Bobby Davenport, Pete Webb,
Jack Dobbins,
Tommy,
up there. Yeah.
Tommy and I, a lot of kids that played, Gary Bossy, all came from that area around the baseball park, all in one neighborhood.
We lived at the rec center about every night, or up at the park during the summer playing sandlot ball and so forth. So it was pretty special. So,
well, hopefully Holton still has that era or aura for youngsters. I think that Holton has always been a great place to bring up kids.
Great sense of community here. I was at the park the other night in the bandstand, and I'm looking around, and I've never seen a place that has the sense of community. And inclusive, not just Holton, Hodgson, Littleton, the area. Southern Aroostook has a great sense of community around Holton, really does.
Well, a real testament is right here tonight with all the people who went to Holton High School and come back and have fabulous stories to tell about their experiences here and so forth. So I was telling what a great announcer Dewey was, and every kid in the county knew
absolutely.
Dewey DeWitt. Yep. And he knew all the kids and how much they weighed and what they shot and so forth and so on. And we were, Scotty's son works for ESPN. He announces for.
Oh, really?
And we said if they had ESPN when Dewey DeWitt was announcing, he would have been on ESPN for sure. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Scotty, your son does work for ESPN?
Yeah, he's a play-by-play announcer for ESPN International. It's their network that's shown in English-speaking areas around the world, but not domestically. In other words, they have different sponsors. It goes to Australia, New Zealand, the British Isles, Hong Kong, Singapore, Scandinavia. Those audiences want their sponsors, of course, for the program. So he announces sporting events there. He's covering the Tour de France right now for 28 days.
He must do a lot of soccer then.
He does some soccer. He's done a lot. He's done football, he's done basketball, a lot of soccer.
What's his first name, Scotty?
Mark Brown. Yep.
Well, thanks again, fellas, and I don't know how much this is going to be edited out, but I might have to edit out some of Billy Colbath's remark.
Yeah, you'll have to do a little something there, absolutely.
Great to talk to you, Dewey. Thank you.
Joe Inman and Scott Brown and all the other people.